Pastor Braden mentioned Aaron's offertory this morning, Church in the Wildwood. We get to see things at home you don't get to see here. And she was practicing that at home. That is, the way she played that, I don't know if you remember this morning, I kind of made light of it when I got up here. She ended with that one bang at the last note. That was the Mark Rogers version of that song. And that's what she was playing this morning, the Mark Rogers version. But she was afraid to do the rest of it. And when Mark Rogers plays that Church in the Wildwood, he gets to the end, hits that last note, and then does his arms like this and spins around off the pew, or spins around off the piano bench and gets up and go. She didn't do that part here. She did that at home. It was really fun. But she didn't do it here. So next time we'll have to get her to do the whole version of that song. Let's sing together. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this evening. We have been marching through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we will finish chapter 2 tonight. We'll begin in verse number 9 and go down to verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 9. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Word of God says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening service, this Sunday night, that we can come back together and fellowship. And we pray, Father, that the songs that we have sung from our hearts, Lord, the fellowship that we have enjoyed with one another, and most of all with you, even this evening, has been precious in your sight, and it is in ours. We thank you for the ability to give to missions to support the gospel going around the world. We're thankful now, Father, for this opportunity to look into your word. I pray for clarity of thought and clarity of speech. I pray, God, you give me direction. Father, the thoughts that you have laid upon my heart, may I be organized in my presentation, that you might be glorified. And Father, you might have your will in your way. Direct us, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, just by way of review just a little bit, is all about wisdom. It was a problem the church at Corinth had, and Paul is writing the letter to the Corinthians about their church issues. He wrote to them about their problem of division. Is Christ divided for you? He's writing about their problem with wisdom. They were seeking after the wisdom of the world in their advanced and intellectual area of the world instead of seeking after the wisdom that comes from God. And there is a distinct difference. The world does have wisdom. They're not a bunch of dummies running around. And there are some very intelligent people and some very worldly wise people that are out there. But their wisdom is contrasted to the wisdom of God. The problem with the church of Corinth is they were taking all that wisdom in one lump and not separating the wisdom of God from the wisdom of men. A lot of people today are guilty of doing the same thing, subjecting the Bible to the views and opinions of the world and what the world thinks and what the world says. And so the key word of chapter 1 and 2 has been the word wisdom. It was there 8 times in chapter 1. It's there 8 times in chapter 2. And Paul is contrasting worldly wisdom from godly wisdom, telling the Corinthians they need to not worry about that worldly wisdom. Don't worry if the world thinks you're smart. Don't worry if they think you're intellectual. Worry about what God thinks about you. And so he contrasted that wisdom. When we get to the verses we read tonight, there is another word that is a key word. It's not the word wisdom. Another word has popped up. And I don't know if you spotted it, but while we read the text tonight, that word showed up 10 times just in our text. And it's connected to godly wisdom. Look, if you would, let me read briefly again those verses and I'll emphasize that word. Verse number 9 said, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." That's an unusual word to be popping up over and over again. You will not find another passage in the Word of God where that word things, kind of an odd word, jumps out like that. Notice it says, and I forget where I left off, verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of the which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." I would challenge you to underline or circle the word things there, and notice that every time it's spoken of, maybe one exception, but every time it's spoken of, it's connected to the things of God, the things of the Spirit of God, the things which God teaches. So these are good things. It says in verse 12, if I didn't read that one already, "But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God," I did, "that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." All right, 10 times that one word pops up in this few verses. Now, when God uses one word repeatedly, he's trying to get our attention. And he's telling us that the wisdom of God consists of the things of God. So that if we want to find the wisdom of God, we've got to know the things of God. Where are we going to find the things of God? Well, the world has its wisdom, and they find it in places, don't they? Look here in back at chapter 1 and verse number 20. Notice this again, contrasting. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The world has wisdom. Chapter 2 and verse number 6. "Howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world." So the world has wisdom, and it consists of the things that it knows, the things that it thinks, the things that it teaches. That's what makes worldly wisdom what it is. Now, where do they get their wisdom? Oh, they get it from all kinds of sources. I guess the biggest source of worldly wisdom today is public education. And I am tempted to call it public indoctrination. Because, folks, if you're my age, public education is not what it was when you were in public school. Now, I wasn't a Christian when I was in high school, and I look back now at it, at a lot of my fond memories, and realize that those weren't Christian memories. And so the world back in that day wasn't as good as I think it was, because I wasn't saved to know the difference. You get that? I didn't know the difference. I wasn't saved. I couldn't discern spiritual things. So everything seemed fine to me, and to the world everything seems fine because they have no discernment. But schools today are not what they were back then. Now it's to get those minds as young as they possibly can and to begin to infiltrate them and indoctrinate them and teach them in the things of the world. Let me give you just a simple example that we faced just the other night. Sonia and I had the ability, privilege, I don't know what it was. We went up to Sugar Creek, Ohio. And Sight and Sound, that is in Branson, Missouri, and out in Pennsylvania, now does a production up at Sugar Creek at the Star Theater, whatever that is, the Star Theater that's up there. They're doing a production on the Book of Ruth. And let me say this, it was good. Now, I've never been to Branson, I've never been to Lancaster, so I've never seen those. And Sonia has been to those and tells me it's nothing compared to those, but I don't have that to compare it with. This is small scale. That's big scale. But it was enjoyable, and it was the Book of Ruth. And of course, there were things in there that weren't in the Bible, nothing really that contradicted the Bible. But they were making a production on the Book of Ruth, I think an hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, something, and it was good. But the handbill they gave us had the biographies of each of the people that act in it. And these are professional actors. All right, these are people that went to school for acting, and it gives they each wrote their own biography. Well, those weren't that bad either. Nothing really. But I just noticed that the main star, the very first one that listed, was the one that played, was it Naomi or Ruth, Sonia? All right, played one of, I think it was played Ruth. But her biography said her name, and then it said pronouns, she, her. And then it went on to talk the rest about her. Now, none of the others did that, but that one did. And for those of you that are looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about, society today is teaching our kids from the youngest age that they need to choose and decide what their pronouns are. And they're being bombarded by it. If you don't know it, it's because you're like an ostrich. You got your head stuck in the sand. You don't have to know it. It doesn't affect you. But your grandkids are getting affected by it. And they're being told in public education they need to decide what their pronouns are. No, they don't need to decide. It's already been predetermined. It's already been given to him. That lady, and again, I don't know that she's a Christian. She gives a testimony of that. But she felt necessary to have to say, even in her, that I could have told you without that writing that she was a she, her. I didn't need that written on a piece of paper to know. I knew which ones were he, hims. I knew which ones were hee-haws. I even see there was a big camel up on the stage, all right, and there were two gigantic sheep that walked down the aisle. I could tell all of them that were there. But that's just where our society is today. It is insane. It is just absolutely crazy. And you might think, well, we're not in Cleveland, we're not in Columbus, we're not in Cincinnati, it's not affecting us here. You haven't been to Meadowbrook. You haven't been to Cambridge. You haven't been to Buckeye Trail. I know somebody says, well, one of those is more conservative. I understand all that. But it's coming from every direction. Not just that, but all of this philosophy of the world, and it's being taught to our children, and they're being bombarded with the wisdom that is of the world. Now, if that isn't enough, they all go home and got a television set right there in front of them. And they're watching all the latest shows and sitcoms and this thing and that thing. And I'm not going to give you examples because I don't know any. I know this one about up there because I saw that Friday night. But the TV shows and everything that's going on, I know the only time when I'm watching TV, it's a football game, it's a hockey game, it's maybe golf. Judge me, go ahead. But I'm watching those things. But a commercial will come on between and advertise some of the other TV shows. And I just sit there and look at that and think, what in the world? What is that? And that's what the world is getting a steady diet of today. And they're all on the same page. You understand that? They're all on the same page, and they're all in the same category, and they're all believing the same things. And you as a Christian are out in left field because you're not going along with what's there. That's the wisdom of the world. And if you get in a conversation with some of those folks and argue with that, they'll give you all the reasons for the pronouns and all the reasons for this agenda and that agenda and everything that's going on. You can't watch anything without them trying to manipulate you. You remember Walter Cronkite? How many of you remember Walter Cronkite? Okay, let's see, maybe 50, 45 is the youngest, all right. Walter Cronkite used to be the news guy. I don't know who the news guy is today, but he used to be the news guy back in our day. And what they did is they showed you the news, they presented what was going on, and said, now think about it. Decide what you think about this. That was the news back in the day. That's not the way it is today. Now every channel is showing the news with their own bias on it, whether it be liberal or conservative or centrist or whatever it is. They're all showing it with their interpretation of it. You are not free to think for yourself what you're supposed to think, because we're all supposed to be following that same bottle of the wisdom of the world. Oh, I'll turn that TV off. I'll just read the newspaper. Good for you. There's an old quote that I really like, and you've heard me say it before. If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read the newspaper, you're misinformed. So take your pick. Now, that quote, I always thought came from Thomas Jefferson way back in the day, and so I kind of Googled it last week just to verify, and they say, well, it could have or it might not have. Others said it came from Mark Twain. All right, the most worldly wisdom man we probably ever experienced before. Somebody else said it came from Denzel Washington. And for those that know who he is, that's kind of a later day guy, so I'm kind of thinking he might have borrowed or stole it from somebody else. But you can't read the newspaper, and I know there's conservative newspapers and right-wing newspapers, but they're all doing the same thing, telling you what you're supposed to think and what you're supposed to believe. Can I tell you, that's worldly wisdom. How do you protect yourself against that? I mean, you can shut off the TV, and you can not read the newspaper, and you can withdraw from the public school system. You can do everything you want to, but you're still in this world, and you're still subject to this world. Those of you fellows, I mentioned sensitivity training this morning and all that kind of stuff. On the job, you have to be aware of what worldly wisdom is, because if you cross their line, you're going to get in trouble for it. I have a grandson that lost his job because somebody wanted a certain pronoun, wanted to be called this, and it wasn't what they were by birth. And so he got called on the carpet because he wasn't mocking, he wasn't making fun, he just refused to refer to that person at all so that he wouldn't call him the wrong thing, and he ended up having to quit his job and go somewhere else for it. That's the trend that we're in and where we're going in our day today. And it's all around us. The internet. Oh, what a blessing. Social media. How wonderful. And again, there's something to be said, something somewhere positive in all of these things. But it's just showing us that the world is bombarding us. Today's music. And I couldn't name you a song from today's music. I can name you some of the singers because I see or hear about them all the time. And all I have to do is see them and know I don't want to listen to any of that. It doesn't take much to convince me. All of this combined together is indoctrination. It's standard fare. Everyone in the world is on board with it, and that's worldly wisdom. Corinth had their worldly wisdom. And the problem with the church is they were succumbing to it and feeding off of it and wanting to learn it. And Paul's going to tell them in chapter 3, we'll get to that later, you're carnal. I wanted to feed you with meat, but you're not ready for it yet. You're yet carnal. Why? Because they hadn't separated from the wisdom of the world to the wisdom that comes from God. I mentioned there's verses there that said the wisdom of the world, but look at chapter 1, verse 21. For after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The wisdom of God. And chapter 2 and verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God. All right, we know where the world gets its wisdom. I just gave you a list of those different places. That's the wisdom of the world. Where do we get the wisdom of God? I'm sure I'm going to shock you with the answer. I'm sure nobody here would even have a guess. Even after we sang Hold the Fort and waved a certain book in the air, nobody would guess what I'm going to tell you, where you're going to find godly wisdom. But Paul tells us in these verses. Let's look at it from his perspective. Look at, if you would, at verse 10 to verse 12. He says in verse 9, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." I use that verse. We use that verse to talk about heaven. And I don't think it's misapplication, but it's not the direct interpretation. You know what he's talking about? The things that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the... It's the things of God. And those things of God are not a future palace on the other side. They're the things, the thoughts of God, the teachings of God, right here, right now. And they're not open to natural interpretation. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. All right? We are incapable incapable in ourselves and of ourselves to understand the things of God. When I got saved at 18 years of age, and the people that helped lead me to the Lord started to disciple me, they gave me a Bible. Thank God for that. They taught me to read with them every lunch hour. We went into a room and we began to read the Bible, and they began to teach me. And when I first got that Bible, I knew absolutely nothing. I might have known where Genesis was, the first book, but that would have been about it for me at that time. And so when I started out in my Christian journey, my Christian life, whatever you want to talk about it, I started with an empty slate, with absolutely nothing. 18 years of the world, a year in the Marine Corps at that time, everything influenced by worldly wisdom, and absolutely nothing from God. I had a lot to clean out and a lot to put in. And there's only one way I was going to do that, and that was to learn from God. And those fellows did the biggest thing they could have done for me by telling me, get in the Bible. Read what God has to say. I finished my Bible 2 days ago for the second time this year. You say, why do you read it like that? Well, I started Genesis and Matthew all over again for the third time. Why do you read it like that? Because I need the wisdom that comes from God. Now, one of you might look at me and say, you're not doing a very good job, Pastor. Well, just think of where I'd be if I wasn't doing it. That's what I always remind myself. Sometimes I beat myself up. I think, God, I am reading your word, and yet I still struggle with the flesh. I still have problems. What in the world's going on? And the Lord just reminds me, just think of where you'd be if you weren't doing that. So the Bible says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. See, our heart can't comprehend God in and of itself. We need assistance. We need help. We need revelation. So if I was to break this into 3 points tonight, I'd first say, first of all, that our wisdom comes from revelation. It says in verse number 10, but God hath revealed them unto us. You know how you learn the things of God? By God revealing them to you. You can be taught them, and that's great. You can hear them preached, and that's great. You can read about them in some source outside the Bible, and that's even great. But the best way to learn the things of God is for God to reveal them to you through His Spirit, and the channel that God has chosen to do that is through the Word of God. The Spirit does not teach us from other avenues. He teaches us from the Word of God. Look back at John chapter 14, the Gospel of John. John chapter 14, just so you're not taking my word for it. John chapter 14, verse number 26, Jesus is getting ready to depart. In John 14 and verse 26, the Lord Jesus says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You know what the responsibility of the third part of the Trinity, if I can word it that way. You know what his job is? To bring to your remembrance the things of God. Those things we're reading about in 1 Corinthians. Those teachings, those words, those principles. His job in your heart is to teach you, but he can't teach you what you haven't put in. He's not going to mysteriously write it across the sky. He's not going to tell you something you haven't already read. He's going to use it by what you have put in already. He's going to reveal it to you. Have you ever, and I know the answer, read your Bible and said, look at that. I never saw that before. You know what God's doing? Revealing something to you. Usually when you need it. You say, how come I read that before and didn't get it? You didn't need it then. You needed it this time. Thank God for it. Thank God that he gave it to you. That's the Spirit's work. He reveals. You're in John chapter 14. Turn to John 16. I already turned away from there. But look at John chapter 16. Verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, what is truth? That's what Pontius Pilate said. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So when the Bible says the Spirit of God's job is to guide you in all truth, he's guiding you in the word of God. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The blessed privilege of the third part of the Trinity is to reveal the Word of God to you and I, because we can't handle it ourselves. We're not smart enough. I don't care what your IQ is. You're not bright enough to understand the things of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. We have a problem, verse number 9 said, with our eyes, with our ears, and with our heart. He said, I'm not sure about that. Okay, let me give you another verse. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 and verse 15. Here's the problem with the natural man. Here's the problem with you and I before we got saved. Here's the problem with us when we're not in the Word of God. Not having things revealed by the Spirit. For this people's heart, Matthew 13, 15, this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, the same two entities. Heart, ears, their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, be converted, and I should heal them. That verse is repeated, by the way, in Acts chapter 28 and verse 27. Exactly word for word, verbatim. An unsaved person cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. So they have to go to worldly wisdom because that's as high as they can get. What society is offering through all those sources we talked about, that's it. They can't get any higher than that. But that wisdom is foolishness to God because he's much smarter than that and much brighter than that. And he wants to reveal those things to you and to me. Now, don't misunderstand. Don't think God's waiting to show you some miraculous secret nobody's ever seen before. No, he's waiting to show you things you've never seen before. He wants to reveal those things to you. Notice back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. When you sit down and read your Bible, trust the Spirit to guide you. Trust him to direct you. Trust him to teach you. Trust him to guide you. That's what the Bible says. Now, that's kind of hard to do when there's a lot of outside noise going on. Hard to do when there's a lot of distractions going on. Can I encourage you? Shut your cell phone off and put it far away somewhere. Because it will affect you when you're trying to read your Bible. I read a statistic the other day. I sent it to Pastor Braden on an email. It was about cell phones, and it said that public schools now are banning cell phones in the schools. It said in the average day, a student will get, I think it said either 60 or 90 updates on their cell phone, 60 to 90 updates during the time of school. And when the kids have those in their classes, automatically what the teacher says is not as important. They got to get that update from whoever sent them an update. And it says that when they disengage from the teacher and look at the update, the message is there, it takes 20 minutes before their brains refocus on what they were doing before they checked that message. Now that's secular people, that's worldly wisdom. That's secular people giving us that information. How much more true is that true? And so we need to be careful when we're reading our Bible. Put away distractions, put away other things. Ask God to guide you and to show you something. It's hard to do. It's hard to get that alone time like that, but we need it. Who has revealed it? It says in verse 10, but God hath revealed them. Who has received it? Verse number 12, we have. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Thank God that God gives us what we need through divine revelation. Divine revelation. You already have the Bible. You don't need it updated. You don't need it rewritten. You need it reread, and after you're done, reread it again. All right, that's what we need, the Word of God. God hath revealed these things to us by the Word of God. You know what will give you discernment in this world in figuring out what, you know, they say even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. And sometimes the world will stumble onto something that's wise. You know, not everything they say is just complete rubbish, but every once in a while they'll stumble accidentally onto some kind of truth. You've got to be able to separate what the truth is from what's not true. And you and I, the Bible is telling us, don't have the capability to do that outside of the divine revelation of God. We need this book. We need the Bible. It comes by divine revelation. Verse 13 and 14. It comes by divine inspiration. Verse number 13 says this, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth. Did you know your vocabulary should be different from the vocabulary of the world? I don't mean just not cussing and swearing. I mean that the things that you just talk about, they come out different. Your speech betrays you because you don't sound like the rest of the world. It's not that you don't talk about politics or don't talk about sports or don't talk about automobiles or cars or things like that. It's not that you don't talk about it, but it's just there's something different about your language. Sometimes they think you're a Mormon. I've had that happen before in times past. People have been around me and say, you don't cuss at all. You don't swear. Are you a Mormon? Ugh, that hurts. But they notice there's a difference in our conversation, in our demeanor, in our attitude. Why? Because the Word of God is illuminating us. It's giving us some light. That's what illumination is, giving us some light. Which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We are to speak by the Spirit of God. We are to compare things by the Spirit of God. Some new philosophy comes out, some new thought, some new idea. You know the best thing to do with it? Sit down with the Bible and see what it has to say. I found that that's true not only with secular wisdom, but with Christian wisdom. Do you know the Christian vocabulary is changing too? They're always inventing new words to make it more acceptable to more people, and so we change the message of the gospel to make it more seeker sensitive or whatever it is. Oh, that's a dangerous thing to do. We are to stick to biblical language. We're to stick to the words. I mean, how are you going to improve on grace and mercy? We talked about it this morning. Salvation and regeneration. How are you going to, imputation, I love that word that's in our King James Bible, not in the other ones. How are you going to improve on the word imputation? If you know what it is, you can't improve on that. And the Bible says as we get into it, God will give us a different language. We will speak differently from what we know, we will speak. and it'll seem odd to the rest of the world. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make you like the rest of the world. I'm trying as a pastor to get you in your Bible, and your Bible will make you different from the rest of the world. Now, if you're a Christian and don't want to be different from the rest of the world, that's a whole different story. Just set that Bible aside and watch television, read the newspaper and all that. You'll be just as carnal, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as the rest of the world is. But God wants to God wants to give us inspiration. What we know, we speak. We speak the things of God. We compare them, it says in verse number 13. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How do you compare two things? You set them down side by side. You notice the differences. All right? Not everything is the same. You know, there's something right there that the world has a hard time understanding. There are differences. This is not that. It's not how you look at it. This is not that. A cat is not a dog. Now, that might be rocket science for some of you. I don't know. But they're not the same thing. A male, do I have to go any farther? Is not a female, all right? Just take it and run with it. But here it's saying compare spiritual things with spiritual. So even the things of the Word of God, as God reveals them to you, He will give you inspiration to know those things that should be spoken, those things that should be said. You know when you need divine inspiration more than any other time? When you're witnessing to someone, when you're telling them about the Lord, because it's so easy to give your opinion, give your view, give what you know. And what they need is the Word of God. And what they need is the gospel message, the language that comes from the Bible. And again, folks are trying to rewrite this and rewrite that to make it more acceptable to the world that's out there. It doesn't need to be more acceptable to them. The same that gospel that saved many of you 50 years ago or longer, saves people today. It didn't need to be changed back then for you. It doesn't need to be changed today for anybody else. The Spirit of God is the one that's in charge of this. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, we'll not turn there, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God." So we are to speak by the Spirit. It comes by revelation. We are taught by the Spirit. It comes by inspiration. We are to speak by the Spirit. And then thirdly and lastly, it comes by illumination. And I kind of spilled the beans and gave that word a little early last time. That's verse 15 and 16. Our godly wisdom comes from revelation, comes from inspiration, comes from illumination. Revelation is when we're taught by the Spirit. Inspiration is when we speak by the Spirit. And illumination is when we discern by the Spirit. You know what I am convinced is the most lacking quality in Christianity today? Is spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. It is evident to me in the contemporary church, in the chase after feelings and what makes you feel better and feel good, and a neglect of the Word of God. Most of those places you go into that have that kind of music program that's going on, they don't have preaching in there. They've got a little soliloquy for 5 to 8 minutes. We've talked about that before. Somebody gets up there and shares something from the Bible that really means about... I was going to say it means about as much as Kamala Harris saying something, but that wouldn't be the right thing to say at this point, so I won't just pretend I didn't say that. It just makes no sense. It's just gibberish. It's blabbing. It just has no value to it. And yet people go after it and want to hear it, and I'm talking about the contemporary church messages now. People go after it and want to hear it because it soothes them and makes them feel better. But God's not anywhere involved in that. Verse number 15 says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." That's kind of a tough verse to understand, isn't it? Unless we really understand what the verse is saying. And there's the key. He that is spiritual, what is he talking about? He's talking about looking at the things of the wisdom of God and having discernment. And when you're a spiritual person, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, when you are a spiritual person, you look at those things and discern them and decide those are not of God. But he that is unsaved can't do the same thing. Let's put it this way. Christians understand the unsaved man, but the unsaved man doesn't understand the Christian. I understand a lost person. I understand where they're coming from. I understand. I know where the wisdom of the world, I know where they're getting all their information. I know where this is all coming from. It's not hard for me to understand them, but they can't, to save their life, understand us. Understand what we do and why we do it. I mean, you bunch of nuts are here on a Sunday night at 7 o'clock sitting in church and letting a preacher get up there and do whatever he's doing. Chew you out, tell you, you can't think, your head's not right, your eyes aren't right, your ears aren't right, your heart's not right. I mean, who wants to go hear that? Somebody that's been touched by the Spirit of God. And the unsaved world can't comprehend that, can't understand that. You can understand them because you know where they're coming from. Sinners do what sinners are going to do. Why is all this chaos going on out there? Well, because they're being fed by public education. They're being fed by TV and newspapers and magazines and the internet. It's all force-feeding all of them. And they're all jumping on board together, patting each other on the back. You and I have some spiritual discernment. We're making a judgment about those things and saying, no, that's not right. And they don't understand it. You know how I know that's talking about that attitude, that discernment? Because of verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? See, that's what this is all about. It's your thinking. These things are all about your thoughts. The thoughts of God. When you come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, most of the time, can we be honest? Most of the time, one single service is not life-changing. Now, it was when you got saved. The service you went to and you got under conviction and trusted Christ as your Savior, that was life-changing. Maybe there's one you experienced for a call to service, a call to the ministry, a call to do some specific. That could be life-changing right there. But the majority of church services you go to, you know what it is? It's one thought upon another, one principle upon another, one idea upon another, all coming from the Word of God that's shaping our character, building a foundation, and giving us the wisdom of God. You don't even know it's happening, but it's coming through the Word of God. And you know what the result is? The end of the verse. We have the mind of Christ. That's a challenge, isn't it? Let this mind be in you, the Bible says in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Paul could say to the church at Corinth, if we put aside that worldly wisdom and seek after godly wisdom, we can have the mind of Christ. You know what that is? That's our goal. That's our high jump. That's what we're after, having the mind of Christ. But it's hard. And it takes work. And it takes sacrifice. Can't listen to that. Can't go there. Can't participate in that. If I do, I'm destroying the wisdom of God and taking in the wisdom of the world. So I go after these things over here, and that makes me so different from everybody else. Welcome to the party. Welcome to Christianity 101. Welcome to getting the mind of Christ. It comes by the Word of God. How's your Bible reading? How much time are you spending in there? You know, an average sitcom is what, 30 minutes? And I don't know if you watch any of those or not. But an average sitcom is 30 minutes. Two of them, you're watching it for an hour. I'll get into a football game, 2.5 hours. Probably three. You spend that much time in front of that, watching that, and get no time in front of this. What do you think's going to happen? What's going to be shaping your mentality? What's going to be shaping your thought life? And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what's going to shine forth? He has revealed, he has inspired, he has illuminated through his word. That's our source for the wisdom of God. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.